Lesson number 8, Christ or Dragon. The Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. In opposition to the Lamb is the dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. These two opposing factors form the centers around which the entire population of the world rally. There are only two masters. Scriptures give them various names: God or Mammon, Satan or Christ, the dragon or the Lamb, Baal or Jehovah. Throughout salvation history, men and women have rallied to one or two rulers, masters, leaders. We either follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes, wherever he leads us. We either follow him or we follow the dragon. There is no in between. So it behooves every Christian to sit down with the Bible and prayerfully discover all the things that the Lamb wants his sheep, his brothers and sisters, the other members of the flock of God, what the Lamb of God wants them to believe and do. And once you get what Jesus wants you to do, everything that contradicts what Jesus wants you to do is wrong. Just as simple as that. So the Christian in the last days must find from the Scriptures what the Lamb wants him to do. Part number 2. The dragon opposes the Ten Commandments. He made war on those who keep the commandments. Seriously against the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments express God's will. They were given by Jesus Christ on Mount Sinai. His voice then spoke. Hebrews chapter 12. In fact, he and the Father stood side by side and spoke. And then the finger of the Spirit wrote the Ten Commandments. The Trinity was there. So the dragon and his followers, wherever they are, who fight the Ten Commandments, show their hand very clearly. Lucifer, Satan, serpent, dragon, whatever name he's given, various aliases refer to the same being who is described by Ezekiel as a king, perfect, blameless. The day he was created, he was without iniquity. So he's a created being who in the beginning was full of beauty, and little by little, he grew covetous of God's power, of the popularity of God with the other angels, the unfallen worlds. He wanted some of that adulation. He wanted, in fact, to be like the Most High. In order to do this, he decided to rebel against his Creator. God was not changing. God never changes. In fact, when Jesus came, he says, "Don't think I'm going to take a yod or a tittle." And if you've got a Bible, Psalm 119, look between every 8 verses. In some Bibles, you'll see the Hebrew characters there. Compare them. Compare the G, the Gimel, with the Nun, the N. And you will see just a slight heel on the right lower foot. The same looking letter with just a tiny little difference. That's a tittle. And then you'll see the yod or the yot. That's the smallest letter. So Jesus is saying, "I'm not going to interfere with the smallest letter or the smallest part of any letter. Nothing is going to change in the law." And so we will see in the last days a greater and greater attempt made to alter God's law, to make another law, and to enforce that other law. This is the characteristic of Babylon, mother and daughters, in the last days. Part number two. The dragon opposes the testimony of Jesus. Now the angel Gabriel explained that the testimony of Jesus was the spirit of prophecy. Get your concordance. Look that out. The spirit of prophecy has been a gift of God to about 120 men and women throughout salvation history. You make a list of them in the scriptures. They're not all called prophets. Some of them are called seers. Some of them just said the word of the Lord came to them. Their preaching, their teaching, their writings are found in scripture. And all those teachings that agree with the scriptures are part of the Spirit's revelation. But there only have been 120 or so men and women that have received the special gift of prophecy. At the end of every epoch in salvation history, God has raised up a prophet to take the truth for that time and apply it to the age. Prophets came at the time of the exile, at the end of it. Prophets came at the coming of Christ. And so we can expect a prophet or prophets at the end of the 2300 days. And the writings of Ellen White have, over the last 100+ years, with all the dissections, with all the scrutinies, with all the opposition, have been proved to be from heaven. The remnant that keep the commandments of God have the spirit of prophecy. And the dragon hates the spirit of prophecy. Ellen White said, "There will be a hatred kindled against the testimonies, which is satanic." And I have been amazed at how violent and virulent and angry the writings or the teachings or the person of Ellen White stirs up even in this time. I've been amazed. What's going on here? They're just writings to the people that oppose them. Why get so angry and hostile? But that's one of the signs. There will be a hatred kindled against the testimonies which is satanic. The workings of Satan will be to unsettle the faith of the church in them. For this reason, Satan cannot have so clear a track to bring in his deceptions and bind up souls in his delusion if the warnings and reproofs and counsels of the Spirit of God are heeded. Notice that. And then she goes on, "Those Seventh-day Adventists who take their stand under Satan's banner will first give up faith in the writings and reproofs contained in the testimonies of God's Spirit." And so those who are going to move out first give up the spirit of prophecy. Part number three. The dragon promotes blasphemy. Now the Bible defines blasphemy as two activities. First, the claim of a human being to be God, and the claim of a human being to forgive sins. Now, if we find a power claiming to forgive sins, sitting in an office or in a cubicle, listening to confessions, and then claiming to forgive them, even claiming to impose penance on them, this is blasphemy. Wherever you find it, in the mother or in the daughters. Now this claiming to forgive sins can develop into some kinds of spiritual counselings in which the counselor will relieve the sinner of his guilt apart from Christ by talking him out of feelings. It can be seen in different manifestations in these last days. It is one part of blasphemy. Another part of blasphemy is claiming to be God, claiming to be right, claiming to be able to dictate. We know ancient Babylon changed, following Constantine, the observance of the Sabbath from Saturday, the seventh day of the week, to Sunday, the first day of the week. Now the daughters, taking that state, can legislate it, can impose it on non-believers or on Christians who choose to give another day, taking the place of God to enforce decrees that they devise. So we see this starting up in the medieval church and now extending into the modern church. And we can get examples, as the note gives, of bishops, Bishop of Rome, who claimed to be God, claimed to have the position of God, to be like God himself, to hold on earth the place of Almighty God. Now you can do that in the legislative hall today, take the place of Almighty God and decree that everyone will keep Sunday, or you can go back into the medieval church and decree that everyone must observe Sunday. This is a daughter. The daughters are drunk with the wine of the wrath, the anger, the persecution of ancient Babylon. Part number 4. The dragon incites the beast to persecute. Now there are beasts that come up in the book of Revelation that take their stand in the world and persecute, insist that those who don't conform, that the remnant of believers who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus should be persecuted. The book of Revelation, chapter 13, describes two beasts. One beast comes out of the sea. The other beast comes out of the earth. The beast that comes out of the sea develops out of populated Europe. The beast that comes out of the earth, where there are no big waters, peoples, multitudes, and nations, describe the kind of religion that has evolved after the Pilgrim Fathers landed in this wilderness. The land beast, the earth beast, is the one that exercises all the power of the former beast in Europe in making its amalgam of religion here in the earth. And the earth is North America. That's where it came out. That's where it developed. Now, as we use the same word earth in this revelation, let's not change its meaning. When it develops power over all kindreds, tongue, and nation, so that all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, it's still the earth. You don't expand North America to include the rest of the population. There is an old beast that takes care of some parts of the world, and there's the land beast, the lamb-like beast, that has to deal with all that dwell on the earth from which he emerged. So we can look for activities in the world outside North America, and major activities by the lamb-like beast in the earth in North America. Part number 5. The dragon's voice. The lamb-like beast, rising out of the earth, suddenly talks like the dragon. So the language of the land beast and the language of the sea beast becomes the same. In fact, the activities of the land beast builds an image to the sea beast, and so they are the same in their philosophy and worship. Their worships, based on their tradition, based on their day of rest, is in contrast with the lamb, who has his own law, his own Sabbath. He is Lord also of the Sabbath. He has his own followers. And so you come to see, as Revelation 13 and 14 emphasize, there will be two centers of worship. The Lamb on the throne, the image to the beast, brought about by a Lamb-like government, in contrast to the Lamb of God who gave himself for the sins of the world. There are only two masters. And it's only as we worship one or the other, take sides, that we show what spirit we are of. Part number six, the lamb-like beast, the sea beast, the dragon beast will work miracles. Thousands of voices. Satan also works, lying wonders, bringing down fire from heaven. Thus the inhabitants of the earth will be brought to take their stand. What are we going to do? The only safety for you is to search for the truth as for hid treasures.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.